Our scripture this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod in his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the ancestors, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. This passage from the book of Romans quotes freely from the Old Testament. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. That comes from Psalm 18:49 and 2 Samuel 22:50. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, Deuteronomy 32:43. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him, which quotes Psalm 117:1. And the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope, which is a reference to the passage that Georgia read earlier this morning. Paul, who wrote the Romans, is obviously trying to show his audience that God, all along, wanted the faith to be shared, not just to be the exclusive domain of the Jews, but to belong to everybody, Gentiles or Jews alike. As an aside, the book of Romans was in the news recently involving the game show Jeopardy. hardly ever watch it. But it was Final Jeopardy. Under the category New Testament. And the answer was, Paul's letter to them is the New Testament epistle with the most Old Testament quotations. Paul's letter to them is the New Testament epistle with the most Old Testament quotations. And one contestant answered, who are the Hebrews? And that was declared correct. Another contestant answered, who are the Romans? And that was deemed incorrect. But then a controversy broke out. Why? Anybody got a guess why? I just preached on the Hebrews in August. Katie? Because it was written to all of them? Okay. That might be part of it. I preached on the Hebrews in August. Who's the author of Hebrews? It's okay. I'm not quizzing you. You're not on Final Jeopardy right now. Who wrote Hebrews? Nobody knows. They don't think it was Paul because the vocabulary doesn't line up with what he wrote. So they're saying that Paul wrote this, but Paul didn't necessarily write this. Paul definitely wrote Romans. So the correct answer is Romans. The incorrect answer was Hebrews. So this should have been phrased properly, who are the Romans? Because scholars know Paul wrote Romans. And Romans has lots of Old Testament references, such as the ones I just read. Not as many as the book of Hebrews, but still plenty of them. And the particular Old Testament quote that concerns us the most today is the root of Jesse quote from Isaiah. Anybody know who Jesse was in the Old Testament? I'll give you a hint. You've already heard it from Katie. So I'm not gonna let Katie answer this. Who was Jesse? Okay, let's phrase it like a Jeopardy question. Jesse in the Old Testament was father to which biblical character? Ah, I heard it. Who is David? You phrased it right away. Somebody just said, David, that's not the way you answer Jeopardy. Who is David? Yes, King David. King David's father was Jesse. And in the family tree, Jesse is the root. And ever since this passage appeared in Isaiah, followers of the Hebrew religion were convinced that the Messiah was going to come through the lineage of David. Jesse being his father. Jesse was known as a farmer, breeder, and owner of sheep. He had 7 or 8 sons. That's another scholarly controversy. They're not sure how many sons he had based on the way things are phrased. They sometimes prefer 7 because it's just a nice biblical number, but they're not really sure. 7 or 8 sons, but you remember, the prophet Samuel was sent by God to Jesse's farm. Because God told him that the future king of a unified Israel was going to come from that family. And so Samuel, the prophet, kept looking at Jesse's other sons. They were all fine-looking sons. They seemed so tall and so handsome, so strong and so kingly in their bearing. And yet, as he looked at them, a prophet speaks God's words and hears God's words. And so he's saying, he's hearing, not that one. Not that one. Do not consider his appearance or height, God tells him, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so finally, after having met all of Jesse's sons, Samuel still didn't have a king. And so he said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, there's still the youngest, but he's out tending the sheep. So they had to wait for him to come home. And that son was David. And when he arrived, God told Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And so Samuel anointed him with oil. And the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. It would be many months before he became king. There was still a king already in power, Saul, and he became jealous and went insane, trying to chase David around the countryside, until finally Saul was dead and David was king. And the passage from Isaiah that Georgia read promised that David's line would produce the Savior. And that's why both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke go to great pains to exhaustively provide a genealogy tracing Jesus back to David so that people could see that he was from the lineage of David, from the root of Jesse. And David, for all of his sins and problems and flaws, is described in Scripture as a man after the heart of God. He knew he wasn't perfect, but he just wanted to get right with God. He had that kind of a heart piety religion that the other kings just seemed to miss. Seems like all the other kings in Scripture are just kind of, they're obedient sometimes, they're disobedient more often. But the heart is missing from so many of them. Even Solomon. Solomon was all about the mind, having wisdom, but the heart was missing. And I felt like there's a deficit in Solomon. He goes chasing after women, hoping that's the answer to what's wrong with his heart. And that brings his downfall. Whereas David was all about the heart. And Jesus is all about the heart. Jesus is all about the relationship. Having a head knowledge of Jesus will only get you so far. Having a heart knowledge of Jesus, that's the stuff that a walk of faith is made of. I'm going to take you on another detour. I already took you through Jeopardy. Now I'm going to take you into the world of pets. In the passage that Georgia read, we have animals in the future paradise, which you would call heaven. And you look at that passage, and you hear all kinds of things going on there. I'll just read some of it again, reread some of it. The wolf shall lie with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, meaning the child of a goat. The calf and the lion will feed together, and there are children there too. The little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. A child, a nursing child, shall play over the hole of an asp, poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. And what does that mean? That's going to come from this root of Jesse. Is this all about animals? Is it going to be safe now to be around animals that are thought to be poisonous or violent? It seems to indicate that. It also might be about people. I think there are people that are wolves. There are people that are mean, that are snakes. There are people that hurt us badly. And in the kingdom, there will be no hurting each other anymore. And so their very nature will have to be transformed for them to be a part of the kingdom. All of the vipers in this world will have to be turned into somebody that can love and is capable and exercising love with other people. So it's a metaphor in that sense, I think, but it also, I think, and this is something I don't think ministers emphasize this enough, it also could be taken literally. There's going to be animals in the kingdom of heaven. So when Fido dies, and you feel grief and pain because you miss Fido, Fido might be there in the kingdom of God. Why not? There are animals mentioned here in Scripture. Why wouldn't an animal be in the kingdom of God? And so people ask me, what will my pet be there? And I say, well, I haven't died yet. I don't know. But this passage in Isaiah says there are animals there. And they're animals on their best behavior. And they'll get along. And I think that's a wonderful thing to think about. You won't find me saying, oh, no, heaven's just for people. I think that they'll both be there. All right, I've taken you on a detour. I want to take you back. The Savior is promised, and he's promising this new world. And it's a world where everybody gets to belong. There have been some controversies lately. People saying, you know, treating Jews like they don't belong in the kingdom. Things have totally gone on their ear and reversed. Jews and Gentiles will belong to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been opened. Just as a sea refuses no river, the kingdom of God will receive everyone of every nationality. In fact, there won't be nationalities anymore. People won't be making such artificial distinctions between one and the other. No one will say, you can't go in there because you're one of those Canadians. Or you're an American. You don't go to heaven. All of those artificial distinctions that we call nationalism that are destroying this world and causing nation to rise up against nation and everybody fighting, all those things are gone and we all just belong. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Most of us are probably Gentiles. I am, as far as I know, and yet I can be there too because of this Messiah that comes from the root of Jesse. You forget about Jesse. One more thing you need to know about Jesse. This person, let me phrase it like a Jeopardy question. This person is the grandmother of Jesse. And is famous. Not Sarah. I heard a name, but I didn't hear a phrase like a Jeopardy question. Who is Ruth? Yes, Ruth. Who is Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite woman, and she's Jesse's grandmother. So Jesus has Gentile blood in him, and this was prophesied that way all along. The Gentiles were always meant to be a part of the kingdom. And so such artificial distinctions as Jew and Gentile fall away. Moabite and Roman fall away. Wolf and sheep fall away. We rejoice together in one family tree made possible by Jesus in a prophecy made centuries and centuries ago. And Jesus descends from the root of Jesse.